Thanks to Curse Hire, time for the Cat Attack podcast, and we are doing it a little bit different. You'll be wondering why, firstly, Tom King, why are you opening the show, and two, why is the next voice you're going to hear not Ben Castagnoli? That's right, we're doing AFLW-style Cat Attack podcast, thanks to Curse Hire. Lucky enough to be joined by Cats AFLW star, Renee Gehring, who's going to be here weekly through the AFLW season. Hello, Nate.
Hey, Kingy. Good to be here. Good excited to chat all things AFLW.
Yeah, great to have you here. Thanks for jumping on board. 4 days away before taking on the Dockers to open up the second AFLW season for the Cats. How are you feeling having not played a huge amount of footy in the last 12 months?
No, really excited. I think it's a long off season, obviously, but we're not in off season ultimately with VFLW, but I think we're all looking forward to having that consistency of hopefully game after game in a normal fixture of the AFLW, and we're all really excited to kick it off again.
Yep, great night last Friday night down at the club, season launch, and I suppose that just gets you in the mood to know that it's a little bit closer.
Yeah, it was a great feel at the season launch. I think a lot of people mentioned that, both our families obviously being there, but sponsors and the like. It was a nice, a really good feel in the night and just really set it off for the year.
All right, so on an individual note, you've had a cracking pre-season, 3 goals in the only practice match. Much has been made of that. Is that now your new role? Are you becoming a pressure forward as you advance into your 30s?
Yeah, it's definitely been something that I've been working on over the pre-season and learning that forward role. I think I'll go wherever I'm needed, and the coaches know that. But I've certainly enjoyed it, and I think it was obviously nice to get a couple of goals in that practice match just to know that I can. But there's no expectation that that as long as our team's scoring goals, that's the aim. And if we can bring that pressure, like Maddie McGuire and even Danielle Higgins, she got a number of tackles in that practice match as well. Our aim is to keep it in that forward line and to make the most of the opportunities down there.
Been a bit of news out of the Cats. Unfortunate news in the last 5 or 6 days. Firstly, going back to the season launch, a cloud was cast over it when the news came out that Meg McDonald's going to miss probably the first half of the season with a broken finger. It's a massive blow when you lose your All-Australian.
Definitely. I think, it's really sad for her on a personal level and for us as a team. But at the same time, if anyone knows Meg McDonald, she's just onwards, moving on with that and doing what she needs to do to get herself right when that time is. But she's already amongst drills, helping out where she can and in the leadership group, obviously, as vice captain. It just shows her true character and she's sees it as an opportunity for somebody else to step up in that role and in the back line. So, yeah, it's sad, but she knows that she'll get out there as soon as she can.
Yep. She did the same in the VFL season too, didn't she? Like, she obviously didn't play any after having surgery post-season, but every time you looked at a huddle, there was Meg McDonald speaking with the girls, playing a role and helping other players grow their game.
Oh, she was amazing in the VFL season and living in Melbourne but travelling down and not playing. So she came down to do her rehab and to be amongst the group. And then on the game day, she'd be there on the headset on the sideline. So she showed throughout the season, obviously, her leadership and her being voted into the leadership group and vice-captain obviously is a credit to that, that really what she did in the off-season and really what she is and who she is as a person.
Yep. Couple of injury, one injury issue. Mia Skinner won't play this season. I believe it's a stress fracture in the femur. She has had some leg issues, but the club's decided just to put her on ice now for the rest of the season and get her right for VFLW.
Yeah, obviously with those types of injuries, it does take time. She's an amazing young individual and we're excited for when she is right to go and hopefully see her in the VFLW season. But, yeah, she's still doing her training and whatever she can do at the highest intensity she can. We're really getting around her and supporting her through that. Obviously, she'd love to play if she could, but she's making the most of the opportunity in the program still.
Yeah, for those not aware, was a leading goal kicker in the NAB League last year. I think kicked 19 goals from 8 or 9 games, which is a fantastic return in games that aren't high scoring, to average 2.5 goals a game. Shows she's got some real ability.
Yeah, I'm excited to see her out there soon.
The other one, unfortunately, is Gemma Wright won't play this season due to mental health. Has decided to step away from the Cats AFLW program. But from what I understand, the Cats, as you'd expect, will continue to support her. And I suppose that she faces whatever challenges she has.
Yeah, definitely. It's a space that we know is significant in our society, and the club will support her, and she's got some great supports around her with her family and friends in Melbourne as well.
Yep. Well, we wish her all the best. Little silver lining to that is that the one we call Flinny, Elise Coventry, is now back on officially as a train-on player. And if worst came to worst and the injuries mounted and she was in the last 23, she'd actually potentially get her opportunity after doing a knee last year.
Yeah, again, it's a credit to Flinny and the work she's done in the off-season and through her rehab with Nina. She's an amazing individual, and she doesn't like the attention whatsoever. But we were, obviously, when she's been able to train with us throughout this year, and obviously when that was announced, the group just... loving on her, even though she wasn't loving that attention necessarily. But it's she's definitely done the work, and we're excited if it does come to that. Hopefully we don't wish upon injuries upon anyone in the group, but obviously she's an individual that's shown the work that she's ready if it does come to that.
Yep. The pre-season focus Paul Hood's spoken about is ball movement, better skills and moving the ball more efficiently. The defensive side of the game was fantastic last year, but late in the season you struggled to score. But I think we've already seen through the match sim that you've done against Melbourne and then the Bulldogs practice match that ball movement and the work you've done, it looks like it's going to pay off.
Yeah, definitely. The attack and that side of things has certainly been a focus for the group. And through the practice matches and obviously through the preseason, we've been able to work on that. It's exciting to know what we can do when we go in with the confidence and play with that new style. So we'll see how we go.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you noticed, what have you noticed? There will be a difference, obviously. Last year it was going into your inaugural season as a club in the AFLW competition. What have you noticed different from season one going into season two?
I think knowing most of our list, that does play a major role. So obviously we're all new to the AFLW scene, and many of us knew first time in the AFLW system. A few had played obviously at other clubs prior to that. Yeah. So the getting to know each other, but also the intensity of the AFLW and how things are and the level of professionalism as compared to VFL. Obviously Geelong Cats did an amazing job with our VFLW program in the first couple of years, modelling that off other AFLW clubs, but it was a step up in our first season. So yeah, we know what to expect. We know each other. There's only been a few, obviously the 6 new girls coming in, and a few of them were part of our program already. So we were able to step into it from day one knowing each other, and now let's just get to business. We know what where we left off last year, and then we know the potential that we have. So we were able to start and progress from there.
Yep. Nice challenge first up, having to go to Perth as a group to play the Dockers. I spoke to Hoodie about it when the fixture came out. You can look at it two ways. You can go, gee, they sent us to Perth middle of summer, or you can look at it as, well, here's a chance to get the group together and spend a bit more time together as well.
Yeah, that's kind of how I see it. I think all of our travel trips last year, we loved the time together and playing games and all those sorts of things in that travel. And I think to do that straight up is a nice opportunity to set the tone and to spend some extra time together. And that sitting around time, often when we're at training, obviously we've got things to do and things to tick off. So that socialising that can happen at the airport and all those sorts of things is beneficial. And to do it straight up, why not?
Yep. What don't you like about pre-season?
I like all the training and things that some people might not like, the grueling sweat sessions. I don't know. I think it's the waiting, the initial preseason where you're not getting into the match sim. Yep. Where you just want to start practicing where you left off last year. So you've got to do the work so that you're ready for the physicality of practice matches and match simulation. So I think that initial stage where it is just all the fundamentals and the running, I definitely love once we get into the playing and we can lay those tackles and. I like that side of things.
Other than yourself, who's the teammate that's really hard to hold back? Who's the one that goes a little bit too gung-ho, maybe to the detriment.
In the tackling, Maddie Carrick is always solid, and which is to the credit. We want to train against each other like we would train against an opponent, I suppose, and play against an opponent. So to get ready for that, but when she gets you, or Geordie Ivy as well, if she lays a bump on you and tackles you, you definitely feel it.
Geordie's a great story into the leadership group this year. To think that I think it was down at Ocean Grove at the start of a season, going back to the start of 2018 season.
First season, yeah.
Well, 17 season.
Yeah.
Wrecked her knee and had to fight back from that. But now to be part of the leadership group, as the youngest member, I think, of that group, fantastic effort.
Oh, definitely. And she's another one like Meg Mack that during the VFLW this year, she had opportunities to captain. We did a rotating system throughout the VFLW, and she was one that both her actions on field, but also she goes about it in a really quiet way, just the subtle things, and then demonstrates what she wants to see. So, it's obviously evidence and the group's putting her and voting her in there. A credit to her for her work off field and on field this year.
Yep. You had a lot to do with Erin Hall before football.
Yeah.
Having crossed paths with her on a netball court. Have you noticed her absence, other than the fact that she's 6'6"
Yeah, no. We miss Erin, like we do all the girls that are different places at the moment. But, you do. I think you miss anyone, but there's people playing that role now and in their own way. So, yes, she's not there, but Reen and Asta and other girls that are moving through that ruck position. And we play the style that works for the girls that are in there. So, definitely miss her. She's obviously overseas and just had a baby, which is very exciting. The other girls have had the opportunity, which is great.
Fantastic. Talking about playing Freo, there's every chance you'll cross paths with Mia Rae Clifford, who'll become... She'll set an unwanted record for her, I'm guessing, although glad to be in the AFLW system, but she might become the first ex-Cat to play against the Cats.
Yeah, yes.
I don't want to be the small defender playing on her.
No, well, that's it. And I assume that's what position she'd be playing. Obviously, she's been a defender and a forward. So,
but Geelong reinvented her, really, didn't they?
Yeah. Yep, her role at the Cats. And I think she was our leading goal kicker last year, possibly, from memory. And, yeah, she's just... She's the one that'll do the work off the and we know that for her forward line, and she's a real heart player. So whatever team she is, and now it's Freo, we know she'll put it all out there and then put her heart on the line for her team. So we know she'll be hard to come up against.
I'm guessing the Freo coaching staff will be tapping into her this week to go, all right, what can you give us? What guff? I'm just trying to remember, did you play the Dockers last year? You did.
We
here,
did, yeah.
Down here.
Home, yeah.
And they got away from you in the second half.
Yeah, it was the second half. I rewatched it actually recently, and the first half we were with them, but it was very much that second half. And obviously we can learn from that to a certain extent, but then because of the AFLW and the way it is, they've lost a number of their players to West Coast. And the coaching staff and stuff change, so we know that can change the way they play as well.
Still got a couple of guns, and one of those I'm going to mention is Kiara Bowers.
Yes.
She's a star.
She is, definitely. I think she got a number of tackles that game. Significant number from memory, but she does. She just puts that pressure on.
Is it still the AFLW record for tackles?
Yeah, might be. Yeah. It was a lot. She's very talented, and we know when she's got ball in hand, she'll do something with it. But it's also that the heat she brings when anyone else, the opposition, has the ball. So we'll be aware of that.
All right. You're happy to answer some questions from some of our fans on Big Footy?
Yeah, definitely.
You've already got fans. We haven't even done
so.
Yeah. Alcoa Cat, I've seen a big improvement in women's footy since I went to the Carlton Pies match in 2017. Where do you think most of the improvement has been so far, and what has to build to really establish the women's game?
I think it's probably two parts. I think definitely in terms of the fitness level and the builds of the players. Like, I think that being in an elite program as compared to the training that was prior to that first initial season, the strength and conditioning that's happening, the nutrition and the change of lifestyle for a number of players across the board, that then changes the way you can play, if you can run out games further, if you're stronger, fitter, and those sorts of things. Obviously, the skill level as well, as more and more players are coming into competition and are playing at those grassroots levels and coming through with our the NAB League girls coming through, it makes everyone step up in that regard. So if your skills aren't there, then you're going to be pushing those people out and so forth. So, I think across the board, we've seen that, and the game... then changes because of the way in which if girls can kick it further in terms of their skill execution and all those sorts of things. It's not on the ground as much and all those sorts of things that changes the game.
Just trying to remember your age. Were you 27, 28 when you went to the trial day out of Deakin?
28, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
Probably in 5 years' time and nothing against you.
No.
28-year-olds won't be coming into AFLW, will they?
Oh, no. I even think about it. I was really lucky to have jumped on straight away. I think of girls and a number of netballers that I know that are now starting to play probably at the same standard in terms of skill that I was back then. And you can't get a look in because the level is beyond that now. So, which is great for the game. And you think about that, 5 years' time, you think 10 years' time, you're going to have to be a certain standard, a certain level of fitness, or you're just not going to. You're going to have to keep working to get a look in and to be identified.
A bit like how Australian football evolved from being played by men in the 1850s.
Well, yeah.
Whoever played it back then is probably not playing it very well.
No, it's very different.
All right, who else is? Winty. What do players think of the conference system and the length of season, which doesn't allow every team to play each other once?
Oh, look, I think we've heard a lot of what the players do think around this. And I think that obviously I think any player in the competition, I assume, would love to play everyone. We know that that would be an even way of playing the system. You'd know then who was the best teams because everyone's played everyone. But we also, and I understand that, there's constraints on that with TV rights and logistics side of things. So we just want to play football, and ideally, and the aim is and the goal is, and the AFL talk about that being that it will get to that point, but there's some things that have to happen before it does get there.
Yep. You might just miss out on being able to be a full-time footballer.
Yeah, I think so. But look, I'll play while I can, and if I can be part of creating the culture at our club and be part of it for now, I'm pretty happy with that.
Also from Winty, which player or players do you think have improved the most over the last 12 months, and of which of the recent draftees have impressed you the most?
Oh, okay. I think in terms of impressed the most, I think we've already spoken about Geordie, but I think in terms of her stepping up and, like, we watched her back in the VFLW that first season and we saw glimpses, I think, I don't know if anyone's saw that first VFLW game at GMHBA Stadium, and she kicked one from 30 or 40 out from the boundary. Mm. Like, she's got such talent, and obviously she's had some things along the journey that have set her back with some injuries. So seeing her throughout the AFLW season with us in our first year and playing a variety of roles, there's been some more consistency with her season over the VFL this year, and then obviously through that leadership, her confidence to speak up, to direct, to be a big body and I suppose in that midfield role, I think is really exciting. So she's certainly one that I'm excited to see what she'll do this season.
Okay. Draftees?
Draftees. They've all been great. I think for me, Millie Brown is one both on and off field that's actually really impressed me. She's just finished year 12, but her maturity, both within just in the way she speaks about football, but speaks about life, actually. She's really quite an intellectual girl.
Does come from a good family.
Yeah, she's really well thought out in her responses to things, and even when we're talking about stuff around the club, you can tell she's really thinking about how she feels around different aspects of the game, and even in when we're doing edits and that sort of stuff, she's not afraid to step up and to share her thoughts. So for a young girl, I think if you can already think about the game in that manner and share it, and I suppose and share that information in front of the group, that shows that the potential leadership, I think, for the future.
One of our favourites on K-Rock is Daz Broncos. You've now probably heard his name mentioned on Twitter while we've been doing AFL broadcasts. He loves the women's game as much as the men's game, and he wants to know how Olivia Purcell is travelling.
Yeah, very good. Obviously, so Liv hurt herself during the VFLW season, and so she's been in rehab a little bit of the AFLW season and just monitoring that. But she's an exciting player. She's another one that I went back and watched some of the games, and watching her against Brisbane last year in the AFLW season.
Was that her rising star game?
Yeah, I think so from memory. She was just everywhere. And she's just not afraid to take the game on. She's really agile and we love that about her. She's got that real grunt, just get out of my way, I'm coming through, about her. So, she's definitely coming along well, and yeah, all set to go.
All right. The other question was from Cats09. Who is the surprise packets for fans to keep an eye on this season? But I reckon Geordie Ivy might be your answer to that question again.
Yeah, I think so. She's definitely one to keep an eye on. Obviously, there's girls all throughout the ground that are changing roles. Georgia Clark's another one that backline.
Becky Webster. Going into the midfield.
Yeah, so there's lots of change of roles, and I think, and girls embracing whatever they've been asked to do at that point in time. So there's real flexibility in that and excitement, I think.
Absolutely. Renee, absolute pleasure to have you in for our first Cat Attack podcast doing AFLW. My voice isn't going to hold up much longer, as you can probably hear. Apologies to the listeners for that, but you've had more of Renee than you've had of me, so I've been able to just fire the questions. Renee, great to talk. I am about to lose it. Good luck in Perth.
Yeah, thank you.
Against the Dockers, and we'll be keeping a close eye on that and look forward to catching up with you next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Key.
Renee Gehring joining us from the Cats AFLW side. This has been the Cat Attack podcast. Thanks to Kurz Hire.
Kurz Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Noisette dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KurzHire.com.au.